I hope you guys are having an amazing day. How are you? Welcome to the Life with Butterfly podcast, where we talk about living in a world without being a part of it. This is a faith-based podcast where we talk about all things Jesus, but at the same time, I don't want you to feel judged because I'm also imperfect, and if I judge you, I'll be a hypocrite. So today we're talking about living in the world without being a part of it. I am so excited about this episode because that's what this podcast is about, and we're just kind of describing what that looks like. I'm your host, Liana, but on social media I go by Butterfly, kind of my social media nickname. So yeah, you guys, let's jump right into this. I always start with prayer, so let's jump right into this. Okay, here we go. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, thank you so much for going first in this, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity. Lord, thank you so much that I get to kind of talk to all these people online, Lord. People of Jesus over these people who are watching or listening, Lord. No matter how they're seeing this, Lord, I have people of Jesus over them, Lord. First of all, Lord, thank you so much for going first in their lives, Lord. Whatever they're going through, whether it's a prayer request they've been sending to their church or their church family for years, Lord, or it's a silent and secret prayer request, Lord, I pray the blood of Jesus over them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you so much for showing them your grace, your love, your mercy, your miracles, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, we know that you are a healer, Lord. We know that you are a protector, God. We know that you are so loving and such a great God, Lord. So thank you so much for showing yourself in their lives, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you that they will be steadfast and unmovable. Lord, thank you so much for whoever this individual is, Lord, whatever the spiritual battle they're fighting, Lord, I rebuke them. Spirit in Jesus' name. Lord, just thank you so much for this opportunity, God. Lord, thank you for speaking through me in this podcast. Lord, thank you that it'll reach who you want it to reach. And Lord, I surrendered all my social media and this whole thing, Lord, it was your idea. So Lord, thank you. I give it to you, and Lord, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so hi, guys. All right. So today we're talking about living in a world without being part of it. What does that look like? Well, it's mainly about self-denial and kind of sacrificing your own emotion. I don't know why I say kind of so much. It's so weird. I'm like, kind of sacrificing your own desires. No, it's actually sacrificing your own desires. And at first, that sounds so gross. It's like, why would I want to sacrifice my own desires and what pleases me, you know? But in reality, the things that we think we want is actually kind of taking us far away from what we actually need. And what I mean by that is when we try to fulfill ourselves, we always fill ourselves with things that are temporary. We constantly need more of that thing to fill ourselves if we idolize that particular thing. So like, for example, if you're materialistic, you need to keep buying things to feel good. You know, if you deal with lust, you need to keep watching the porno or the lust, you know, to keep filling yourself. And you can never you're never fully fulfilled. Even if it's something like manifestation or things like that, you're never fulfilled. You have to keep doing that thing over and over and over again to stay fulfilled. But the thing about God is when we seek God and we're filled with God's spirit, it's life changing. And instead of seeking our self in creation, instead of trying to find purpose, instead of trying to find what we desire and filling ourselves with creation, when we fill ourselves with the creator of the creation, we end up having the pit in our heart is filled. The hole in our heart is filled. And it's a beautiful thing. And I really hope that everyone gets a chance to experience that, because it's absolutely incredible. For me, when I was trying to please myself, I ended up with anxiety and depression and all of these negative thoughts and negative emotions. And since we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but principalities and powers of high places, we're fighting a spiritual battle. Physically, we're trying to fight something spiritual with things, with sex, with drugs, or whatever else. We're trying to fight these things physically. And instead, God says, give it to him, because God already has the victory. This battle is already won. And when you give these negative emotions and these spiritual attacks to God, he conquers them. And so now you're here and you're filled with God's spirit and you just feel so loved and peace and so much joy. It's incredible. I mean, it's not always easy. Don't get me wrong. I deal with spiritual warfare too. I deal with spiritual attacks sometimes too. But when you have God with you, it's a whole different ballgame. So when you sacrifice yourself, you end up finding yourself. When you sacrifice your selfish ambitions, you end up finding your purpose. And that's the really cool thing about seeking God first, because we sacrifice what we think we want and we end up with what we really need. And it's a beautiful thing. So yeah, we're sacrificing ourselves and our ambitions and the things that we want, but it's so worth it. It's so worth it. It's not easy. And a lot of times it doesn't happen overnight. But when you keep pursuing God, you end up with so much more. So much more than what you feel like you lost. It's incredible. So what does that look like exactly? Like I said, it looks like laying down yourself. And like Jesus said, pick up your cross and carry it, you know? So when I was first really pursuing God, because I had this season when I was mad at God, right? When I first started pursuing God, I went outside on my parents' property and it was a beautiful day outside. It was incredible outside, guys. It was so breezy and it was so pretty. And I started praying and I was like, Lord, what is the difference between the earth and the world? When you say, don't love the things of the world, don't follow the things of the world, what's the difference between the earth and the world? And so I could hear all these birds chirping in the woods, because the property is surrounded by woods. So I could hear all these birds chirping and I could hear the breeze, and it was so beautiful, so peaceful. And in my spirit, God was like, that's the earth. And then I could hear police cars and ambulances in the woods, that in the woods, like, okay, on the other side of the woods is a highway. So I could hear it through the woods onto the highway, and I could hear it. And God's like, that's the world. So the things that God created is the earth. The things that man created is the world. And so that's kind of how I separated the two when I first started really pursuing God, when God really helped me with that. Now, I'm not saying that the police car and the ambulance is a bad thing. Okay, that would be weird. I'm not saying that, right? But I'm saying the things that are man-made, the noisiness and the discourse, the sound of it, it's more metaphorical, okay? The sound of that, that's the world. The man-made part of that, even the fact that they have to go and help somebody, is the world. Meaning that, not that you're not supposed to help people, I'm not saying that, but it's like, if they were going to a crime, that's sin, that's the world. All of the malice and anger and discourse that happens with crime, that's the world. If somebody was hurt or injured, that stuff happened after Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. At first it was peaceful, it had tranquility, it was beautiful, but then once sin entered the world, so much discourse happened. And so that's really the difference between the earth and the world. And I think that it's so interesting, because when we try to follow our selfish ambitions, it ends up so corrupt. I was looking at Hollywood and what people define as success, you know, it's like the things that people look up to, which is usually people define success as wealth or fame and the fortunes that you see on TV all the time. You know, people usually define that as success. And I'm not saying that these actors and actresses or singers are not beautiful and talented. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that what you idolize ends up consuming you. I am saying that because the Bible says you can't have two masters, right? It's either you love one and hate the other. You either love one or despise the other. So if you are trying to pursue fame and riches and fortune and you end up idolizing that thing consumes you. So if you are chasing something wicked, you end up being consumed with wickedness. And that's another thing, because God's idea of success is just fully surrendering to Him and fully having a relationship with Him. That's God's success. Obeying His command is God's success. And that sounds a bit, I want to say, slave-like. And the reason why I'm using that word is because that's how I felt before I started really knowing who God is and God's character. I felt like that was kind of slave-like. I don't want to obey these rules, you know? But in reality, it's not rules to hurt us. It's really rules with a reward in a way, because God sees the big picture. God sees what we don't see. And so when we follow God's commands, we end up with more than what we feel like we lost, like I said in the beginning, because the rules that we think that we have to follow are really not only there for God's glory, but it's also there to protect us. So when people, like, for example, the Bible says, stay away from the love of money. Right? When people live their lives chasing money, not only are they missing out on the life that God has given them, not only are they chasing something that's kind of trivial, because at the end of the day, when you die, I mean, where's the money going? It goes to people who didn't work hard for it. At the end of the day, they're idolizing something that is not going to fulfill them. Creation was never meant to fulfill anybody. You have to go to the creator to feel fulfilled, because God knows what you want. The Bible says that God will answer the desires of your heart because he created you. He knows what you need, you know? And so I look at that and I see the corruption in it. And I'm like, if my heart breaks when I see these children talking about how hard their childhood was in Hollywood. And I think the deception in it breaks my heart so much, because when I was younger and I was looking at people on the TV, I thought that they had it made. I thought they had the life. And come to find out, since they were in an industry that oftentimes is separate from God, since they're in an industry that is away from God, the absence of God is wicked. The absence of God is corrupt. And so they ended up being in corruption. And it's so sad. Now, I feel like a lot of people are going to come on here and say, well, how is the church different? Because there's a lot of scandals going on in the church too, right? I mentioned something similar in a TikTok a while ago. I was like, the Bible says that you tell them by their fruit. You don't tell them by how they identify. So if you go to a church, right, and the pastor is trying to be inappropriate, right? Just because his title is pastor, just because his title is this good Christian man, just because that's his title doesn't mean that that's who he is. You tell them by their fruit, right? If a person is not abiding by the fruit of the Spirit and their fruits are spoiled, they're not fully surrendered to God. So you want to remember that in a way. I'm trying to help this here. That's a good thing to remember. You tell them by their fruit, not you tell them by how they identify. So if a person's heart is fully for God, their fruit is going to be good fruit. But if a person's heart says that they're for God, when their heart's not actually for God, their fruit's going to be spoiled. And so because the way that success is promoted in the industry, it makes it look like one thing, but the reality of it is so much corruption and chaos, and it really breaks my heart. Another thing, speaking of that, is, let's see, I'm looking at my notes, right? Another way to be apart from the world is by your company. And I think that this part is so important because it's more important than we think that it is. So a person's company is not just your physical friends, not just the people you hang out with, even though they have a big influence. Because keep in mind, Ephesians 6:12, we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but of principalities of... That's such a tongue twister for me. We do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but principalities and powers of high places. And so when we are surrounded by people that are separate from God and they're consistently sinning, it's not just us saying, no, I resist temptation, you know, but the Bible does say, resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's James 4:7. But it's not just saying, okay, I have a matter of self-control. It is self-control, but it's also a spiritual battle. And so it's really important to be separate from people that are blatantly disrespecting God in their actions and in their fruit that they form, because it's not just a spiritual battle. Bad company corrupts good character, 1 Corinthians 15:22. But what I realize is bad company corrupts good character does not just talk about your physical friends. It also talks about what you're surrounding yourself with. So recently I was having these weird dreams. And the dreams were really sexual and like freaky. And I would wake up like, what just happened? And so I could not figure it out why I kept having these dreams. And I would wake up, I would rebuke them, but they would keep coming. And I was like, I rebuke this in Jesus' name. And it kept coming. And I was like, what? I realized that on my Instagram feed, on my For You page, it was a lot of freaky people, meaning that I followed a lot of the celebs and the models and stuff that have their whole butts in the camera, or like they're doing like these thirst traps, and like the music in the background has so many sexual references and like all this stuff that is so not of God. And I was like, oh, that is the spirit. That's where the spirit's coming from. So I unfollowed basically all the people who did stuff like that. And the dreams left. They left. I was having nightmares too. Those left too. Because I was surrounding myself through social media with things that were not of God. That's how important this stuff is. Like, I don't think we understand how deep things like this influence us, because it's in our subconscious and it's in our spirit. And so we're battling a spirit because of what we are surrounding ourselves with. Like I said, God sees the big picture here. So when he says bad company corrupts good character, when he says you don't want to surround yourself with things that are evil, it's because he knows, okay, this is going to influence you because it's going to be in your subconscious. This is going to be a big deal later. What I have on here. Also, forgiveness is something that I feel like the world does not teach. They more so teach revenge. I was watching these shows and oh my gosh, I was watching so many revenge shows, things like that, because they're so fun to watch. Just like, that person did that to me, I'm going to get them. And they just kind of want to sit and watch how he's going to get them back, you know? Just fun movies, I guess. But the Bible says to forgive. And at first I was like, I'm sorry, what? Like, I don't want to forgive this person. You know, it's like, I talked about this on TikTok too. I was like, I don't want to forgive this guy. Like, what? No. But in reality, God sees the bigger picture, right? So it's like, you have this person here and you're like, and God's like, you have to forgive this person. And you're like, what? No, I'm not trying to forgive him. And then God's like, no, you need to forgive this person. And personally, I was like, God, how am I supposed to forgive somebody? I can't even forgive this person if I wanted to, because I physically can't. I'm so pissed off of this person. I almost hate them. I don't want to say that I hate them, but it's like, I'm so angry with this person. I do not want to forgive this person. And God's like, no, you should forgive. And I'm like, ew, no. But what I realized is the more that I was in unforgiveness, the more I ended up kind of being enslaved to this person's actions. I lost my power over myself because I was in unforgiveness for this person. I could not deal with being in this person's presence. Do you know how deep a person's power is over you when you can't deal with their presence? I can't function when you're around because I am in so much unforgiveness. That's how deep unforgiveness is. That's how deep it is. And when you come to terms with, okay, this happened and I have to forgive them, and at first, it's really hard, but the more you go to God, the more God softens your heart and it's easier to forgive this person. But the Bible says that you have to forgive 7 times, 70 times. The Bible says you have to forgive over and over and over again. You have to be in so much forgiveness. And it is very hard, but God sees that your unforgiveness can become an idol. God sees that your unforgiveness can be blocking you from your blessing, because in a way, you're bowing down to this person because of your unforgiveness. You know, I have on here Matthew 5:43 that says, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven, He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? And then it goes down to 48 and it says, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And so when you forgive a person, you're letting go of them and you're giving them to God. But the other side is the person that hurt you. What I found is I was really traumatized by this guy years ago. And I kind of hated him, to be honest. And what I realized is he was hurting worse than I was hurting. And that's not to justify his behavior at all. I'm not saying that. But God was like, you have to forgive him and you have to pray for your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Why? Because for them to treat you like that, they're hurting. For them to treat you like that, they are struggling. God sees the big picture. He's like, okay, I know who this person is. I've known them since they were babies. I've known this person. And for them to start acting like this towards you, they're in a deep battle themselves. And so when you forgive, you're not just forgiving for your own. You're not just forgiving because God said so. You're also forgiving because it'll take the bondage off of you. You're also forgiving because it allows you to move on. And you're also forgiving because it allows you to heal. And you forgive because you're helping the person that hurt you. Because I've never seen a happy person, unless they were like psychotic. I've never seen a happy person deliberately hurt somebody. You know, happy people don't hurt people. Hurt people hurt people. And then those hurt people to create more hurt people. And then those hurt people end up hurting other people. And then it just goes around in circles over and over and over again. Because hurt people that create hurt people, that hurt people, that hurt people, that create hurt people. And God sees that cycle. You know, forgiveness is a big thing in the Bible. I know that it also says that you want God to forgive you, and so you have to forgive others. I don't know what verse that is, but it's in there. And so, like I said, I'm reading my notes. Like I said, it's best for us to seek God first and foremost, because the things that we view as success, the things that we view as good, are oftentimes things that hurt us. And it's a beautiful thing when you pursue God, because he fills you up and he delivers you from whatever it is that you're struggling with. And I'm not just saying that because it's a cliche. I'm saying that because he did it for me. And I'm here as an example that God will save you from what you're struggling with. I think that we are created to worship, right? And so since we are created to worship God, if we don't worship God, we end up worshiping something. And so when we worship things that are not meant to be worshiped, whether it's selfish ambition, success, fame, and unforgiveness and things like that, judgment and things like that, when we pursue those things and we follow those things, we end up empty because those things are also empty. It consumes you. And when you're consumed with emptiness, you're going to be empty. We end up being guided by our own wisdom and our own what is created by our own experiences that can create biases. We end up in a place of darkness, to be honest. You end up with addictions and things like that, because we're seeking something that only exists in God. And yeah, that's the importance of God. I never know how to end it, I promise you. But I did want to mention one more thing, though. Faith without works is dead, right? And it's not that, oh, I know the Bible, so I'm a saint. I have good works, so I'm loved by God. It doesn't work like that, because we cannot earn our salvation. We cannot earn our righteousness. The Bible says that it's a gift and no one can boast. And so that also doesn't mean that we can go around sinning either, because like I said, when we pursue our selfish ambitions, we end up empty. So it breaks God's heart, but it also breaks our own heart, because in a way, the way that the spiritual, let's see, I'm trying to figure out what direction to go in. The way that a life without God is a very hurtful life, because we're made to worship something. And when we worship something outside of God, we end up empty. And we think that we're doing the right thing because we believe, okay, well, I feel like I'm a good person, you know, and I feel like I'm doing the right thing. And I know the Bible. We have to keep in mind that Satan knows the Bible too. And so we are not here because we earned our salvation. We're not here because we earned anything. God gave us grace as a gift. He gave us mercy as a gift. But when we are filled with God, because we pursue God, it shows in our fruit. And when we have good fruits, it's a remnant of our faith, because faith is the evidence of our works. But our works, I didn't mean to say that. Faith is not the evidence of our works, but our works are the evidence of our faith, is what I was trying to say. So faith is not the evidence of our works, but our works are the evidence of our faith. And so when we're filled with God and when we're filled with God's spirit, we have no choice but to do good works. And it's not our choice. It's not like we're saying, oh, this is going to make me a good person. It has nothing to do with that. We're doing that thing because we're filled with God and we love God so much that we want to do what he wants us to do. And it's a beautiful thing. So I hope this resonated with you, you guys. It's raining outside. I'm actually really sleepy right now. I'm not going to lie. So I hope you guys have a great day. Oh my gosh. I was really trying my best, you guys. This is like the second time I filmed this, because the first time the audio wasn't right, and then there was a little distraction, and now it's raining and it's making me sleepy, and it was a fight, okay? But I really hope that this resonated with you guys. I really hope that, I hope I made God proud with this one. So see you later, guys. I'll see you guys next Thursday. I hope you guys have an amazingly blessed day. Mwah!